This past Saturday, it was a beautiful day. The wife and the kid, we all went out. We played in the park. We had a very active day. And when it was time to go home, and after we cleaned the house, we felt like we had earned a proper Netflix evening. And as I kicked back, put my feet up on the couch, and started to peruse what was available, I started to think, what a lovely time we live in. I have access to broadband internet. I have access to the service that allows me to watch TVs and movies on demand. I don't even have to get up from the couch to change a disc or a channel. I even have a robot that's like vacuuming in the background. Since I do this blog, I'm reading up on some potential threats to this lovely setup that I have going. For those of you that don't know what net neutrality is, it's a series of regulations that were instituted in 2015 to protect my ability to sit on my rear end and easily stream movies from Netflix over my Comcast connection. Of course, it is more complicated than that, so not a bad idea for a podcast. This week, we're talking net neutrality. I promise I'm going to try really hard not to get political about it. Just going to state the facts. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 69. Before we get to our main story, let's discuss the acquisition that took place last week. Of all things to talk about, Spotify. They acquired a blockchain startup company called MediaChain. As you can imagine, there really isn't much of a reason for me to discuss Spotify on this particular podcast. It's not really an enterprise-focused tool, but I read this article on TechCrunch about how they acquired this blockchain company. And I actually think that the application of this blockchain technology is pretty cool. So what does MediaChain do? They are a Brooklyn-based startup, and they have been working on developing technology for connecting artists and other rights holders with the tracks that are hosted on music streaming services like Spotify. The system had an attribution engine for creators, and even some means of doing cryptocurrency to reward creators for their work. Spotify, for those of you that may care, has been under a lot of pressure over the last few years to figure out a way to better compensate artists for their music, because recording artists have been complaining that they get practically nothing for their music being streamed on their services. So not only is this perhaps a better way to get attribution and better metrics for when your songs are being played on the services, this might be a better way for unsigned and unknown artists to upload their music to a service like Spotify and to get paid when they find an audience. So you can imagine how a service like this, if modified or tweaked, could be applied towards different business uses. So onto our main story, what is net neutrality? Net neutrality means that an internet service provider should provide consumers with an open network and should not block or discriminate any content provider or application that rides the networks and give priority speeds or take away speed from any specific application in favor of another. A classic example would be your cell phone. Let's say that your cell phone company said, you can't call someone on AT&T if you're on T-Mobile. Or you can't call someone from Verizon if you're on Sprint. Or if you do get a hold of them, the service is considerably worse, or the audio quality is terrible. Net neutrality is basically trying to protect consumers from an internet service provider that is providing fast lanes for some applications and slow lanes for others. The internet service providers, they see a business model. They see a means of generating more revenue. If they determine that 75% of all of their network traffic is going towards Netflix, they can go to Netflix and say, hey, we're going to give you preferred network priority and better performance to your customers if you pay us X amount of money. And then the other side of that conversation is, if you don't pay us money, well, your customers are going to have a very bad experience, which may lead them to canceling your service. And that's a very slippery slope. So let's go back to my lovely example of me sitting on the couch. Let's say that the 2015 FCC protections went away. I'm sitting there with my high-speed internet Comcast connection. There is no net neutrality. I'm trying to watch Netflix. Now this 250 megabit connection that I'm paying extra for, is worthless because I'm not getting 4K video quality. I'm not getting 1080p video quality. I'm lucky if it's a 480p resolution and it's looking kind of grainy. Now let's add the complexity of a provider like Comcast, who also owns NBC and obviously is providing you with a television service. Every streaming company like HBO, Netflix, Hulu, they are slowly eroding their profit margins for traditional cable television service. So now there really is a conflict of interest. I'm buying internet from a company that's also trying to sell me TV services, that started off as a business selling TV services. That business is changing, and customers are foregoing buying any of those kind of services in favor of a streamlined internet connection and streaming services. But a company like Comcast can make it difficult for a consumer like myself to access those services and get a decent connection, which would then force me to go back to traditional cable. Very tricky. The reason why net neutrality has been a hot topic lately in the news is due to the strength of the Republican Party. By having both Congress and the presidency, some of the people that were involved in the 2015 net neutrality ruling are no longer in place, and the FCC is currently being led by Ajit Pai. So we're clear, Mr. Pai was a member of the FCC prior to Trump being elected. However, when Trump came to power, several liberal members of the FCC stepped down, as was expected, and Pai ascended to the role of chairman. Once ascending to the chairman position, he immediately sought to reverse core elements of the 2015 net neutrality rules. In a speech that Mr. Pai made on April 26th to the Federal Communications Commission, he stated the following: "Going forward, we cannot stick with regulations from the Great Depression meant to micromanage Ma Bell. Instead, we need rules that focus on growth and infrastructure investment and rules that expand high-speed internet access everywhere and give Americans more choice, faster speeds, and more innovations." And several internet providers have come out to reassure customers that they're not messing with your internet connections. Comcast Chief Executive Brian Roberts said that the company supports modern, strong, and legally enforceable net neutrality protections. He went on to say that we don't block, throttle, or discriminate against lawful content delivered over the internet, and we are committed to continuing to manage our business and networks with the goal of providing the best possible consumer experience. What online activists are concerned about is the potential of undermining internet competition. Let's be honest. I live in the South Jersey area, very close to Philadelphia. I have absolutely no choice in who my internet provider is. I could go with Verizon and get a DSL service because Fios is not available. They stopped running fiber lines. So my only choice for high-speed internet is Comcast. I have no other options. DSL is just not in the cards. This hasn't happened in the East Coast yet, but Comcast hasn't shown a track record of respecting consumer rights. In the South, Comcast users are now under a bandwidth limitation. It's pretty substantial. I think it's a terabyte, maybe more, a month. Any consumption over that terabyte would come at additional cost. And you may be saying, well, it may cost more to give people unlimited bandwidth. And Comcast themselves, in a leaked memo, stated that unlimited bandwidth use wouldn't cost them more money. So as technology is moving towards better video quality, and TVs are becoming 4K, and streaming media devices are becoming 4K, that higher video resolution consumes more bandwidth. That 1 terabyte that you think is almost impossible to consume in a given month, that gets consumed very quickly with 4K resolution and streaming. So enough of my consumer complaining. From an enterprise view, most likely if you're in a large corporation, they have private lines going into their infrastructure and buildings. The FCC's regulations and changes aren't going to impact those pathways much. But think about what those large companies, those large enterprises consume. As companies shift to the cloud and software as a service, and your classic companies like IBM, Oracle, Microsoft, as they transition into software as a service companies, as they start to acquire smaller firms that are building dynamic applications and tools and are attracting audiences, that's where you're going to start to see the pain points. If internet service providers start to inhibit consumers' ability to access those smaller companies, those incubating companies, and they aren't able to build a reputation and an audience, that will limit innovation. So with all that being said, this past Monday, May 1st, federal courts turned away the net neutrality challenge. So for the moment, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai lost his bid to roll back net neutrality rules. This rejection was expected, as is the likely appeal to the Supreme Court. It should be noted that several members of the appeals court dissented with the decision. Judge Brett Kavanaugh said that the FCC's 2015 rule lacked any basis in federal law, raising an issue that may hold interest for the high courts. The question of how far regulatory agencies can go in implementing policy where Congress hasn't carved out clear authority. This is a very complicated topic because technology is not static. It's constantly changing, and trying to govern and regulate, especially in the U.S. legal system, something that's constantly evolving, is practically impossible. As I think of a way to close this podcast, I have to look at it as if it were a problem. Are internet service providers finding it harder to do business? And would rolling back these regulations from 2015 help them? Probably yes, but it's a band-aid. People aren't cutting their internet connections. They're getting rid of their television subscriptions. So as these cable providers lose a big portion of their revenue stream by losing the television service, and if you want to think about it, they're also losing telephone as well, because most people are just using their cell phones. The only surefire profit area is the internet connection. And the only thing they can really do to upsell you is to provide you with faster and better speeds or limit your bandwidth. So they're going to hold off investment in better technology and improvements, and they're just going to keep squeezing consumers. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.